All right, in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter, or things that are yet in the future. I would like to call your attention tonight to the first clause of this verse. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I would like to use tonight as a basis of our few remarks. Talk to you for just a few minutes from the thought or from the subject of heaven's open door. And I cannot help but believe that that door is about to swing open and the saints of all ages are going to receive that summons. It's time to lay down your cross and go home. Now the scene in chapter 4 changes from earth to heaven. For this little clause is mentioned here after this. And I believe that here is one of the keys that unlocks the book of Revelation. For if you would look in chapter 1 and verse number 19, John the Revelator, under divine inspiration, was asked to write. He was asked to write things which thou hast seen, and then the things which are, and then the things which shall be hereafter. And that's exactly what John does in the book of Revelation. In chapter number 1, he takes up him, and under divine inspiration, he begins to reveal or to write concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. He presents to us Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in all of his resplendent glory, and reveals the things that he's seen in chapter number 1. And then he takes up his pen in chapters 2 and 3 and begins to write concerning the church age, the seven churches of Asia, which are illustrative of the church age of all ages from that hour, including the Laodicean church, in which that's the church age that we're living in tonight. And then after chapter number 3, from chapter 4 on through the entirety book of Revelation, John begins to pin words of those things that are going to happen hereafter, or after the rapture of the church. He uses this little term here. After this, a door was opened in heaven. And neighbor, I believe that this is signifying the rapture of the church. I believe that this is the place in the program of God where the church is going to be raptured. It signifies the rapture of the saints. And at the close of chapter number 3, here in the book of Revelation, the church, it automatically passes off of the scene. You don't read anymore about the church on earth after Revelation chapter 3. And judgments that begin to follow after the third chapters of the book of Revelation, neighbor, I am persuaded, falls upon a God-hating and a Christ-rejecting world. Now the saints, the church of the living God, I do not believe that we're waiting for judgment to fall. I don't believe we're just looking for that. I don't believe that we're looking for judgment to come upon the church of the living God. But rather we're looking for His Son from heaven. For the Bible declares in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10 that we look for His Son from heaven, whom God hath raised up. Then he goes on to declare that he hath delivered us from the wrath to come. And neighbor, we're not looking for judgment off upon the church, but we're looking for his Son from heaven. Now I'm persuaded if the church is destined to go through the coming judgments here in the book of Revelation, then that simply means this one thing, neighbor, and that is the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the body of Christ. And I cannot bring myself to believe that the wrath of God is going to precipitate upon the body of Christ. I believe with all of the power that lies within me that that old ship of Zion is going to set sail, and the redeemed of all ages are going to be taken out before the unprecedented woes of the judgments of God begins to precipitate upon a Christ-rejecting world. The Bible declares that after this, a door was opened in heaven. And that voice that he heard simply said, "Come up hither." Now, I'm persuaded tonight, this is my own personal opinion, but I believe it with all my heart, that that voice that John heard, that first voice that he heard that sounded like a trumpet, I believe that's the same voice that he heard in chapter number 1, for it also sounded like a trumpet. And I believe it's none other than Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Hallelujah! Because you see, this corresponds with what Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13 beginning. How properly it fits in with the rapture of the church. And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, I invite your attention to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now I know this is a very familiar portion of God's Word, and most of you can recite it from memory, I'm sure. But I'd like for you to look at verse number 13. We're going to move slowly through these few verses because we want the Spirit to reveal Himself to us through the sacred pages of God's Holy Writ tonight. Here's what Paul tells us in verse 13 beginning of chapter number 4 of 1 Thessalonians. He said, "But I would not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." My soul, if anything that has been any more debated or any more debatable even now, it is in the death of people. What's going to happen at death and what's going to happen after death. There are many philosophies in the world and always have been concerning the hereafter. There were questions in men's minds many swinging centuries ago. I hear Job as he cries out in chapter number 14 and verse number 14. He said, "If a man die, shall he live again?" People have had all sorts of ideas and opinions concerning this subject of death and what transpires after death. There are those like the Sadducees in Christ's day that did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. I don't know what they believed in, but these are some of the things they did not believe in. They did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe in angels. So that doesn't give too much to believe, but that's what they believed or didn't believe, the Sadducees. And then there are others that believe that when an individual dies, he dies like a beast of the field and that death ends it all. Then there are some who hold to the philosophy or the theory that when you die, when your body is placed beneath the soil and it goes to sleep in death, that your soul also is going to sleep till that resurrection morning. They're called soul sleepers. But if you listen to what Paul has to say, I believe he lets us to know what God's Word teaches us on this all-important subject of death and what's going to happen after we die and where we're going at death. I'd like for you to listen closely. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, this word "asleep" is used more in your Bibles than the word "death," because 363 times in your Bible you the word "death," but 881 times in your Bible you read about going to sleep. Hallelujah! They use this word "death" a lot in the Old Testament Scripture. And they were always, they didn't look forward to go to heaven when they died. Back in the Old Testament Scriptures, all it was mentioned is that they were buried with their fathers. They fell on sleep and they were buried with their fathers. They didn't say anything about dying and going to heaven, because you see, paradise was in the lower parts of the earth. It was in the nether world. And when a soul slipped off of this stage of action and the body died or was placed beneath the soil, then that soul and that spirit went into paradise below, or that other side of paradise, which was called hell. The two compartments in that nether world. So you can see why it was called death in the Old Testament. But I want you to know, neighbor, Jesus died. Hallelujah. He conquered death and hell in the grave. He took the sting out of death. In Colossians 2:15, the Bible declares that He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I'm persuaded that when Jesus Christ conquered death and took all of those souls and those spirits that were in that compartment of paradise in the nether world and transported them to the paradise above, Jesus died that the saints might sleep. Hallelujah. And so Paul said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For he said, if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them sleeping Jesus will God bring with him. I like that oft-repeated phrase, those that are asleep in Christ, those that are asleep in Him. Hallelujah. The Word tells us that those that are asleep in Christ will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the Word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Now that's the category we're in tonight. But tomorrow night it could be different. Some of us might be over in that other category. But I thank God tonight for that great host that are going to be alive and remain when the Lord comes. But the Bible tells us that when the Lord comes, brings those that are asleep with Him, then the Word tells us that there are going to be some great sounds. I'd like to call your attention there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First of all, he said, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. First of all, with a shout. I believe if there's anybody that's got a right to shout, our Lord has a right. This is a shout of victory, neighbor, and the victor's shout. Just before Jesus expired there on the cross, hanging suspended between earth and glory, and bled out 4 quarts of blood, just before He expired and committed His spirit back to the Father, the Bible said He cried with a loud voice. He said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. And they thought that He was calling upon Eli or Elias to come to His rescue. But the Bible said He cried with a loud voice. And neighbor, the Word tells us that when He steps out over the vestibules of that glory world, hallelujah, and starts to descend toward planet earth, He's going to let out a shout. And neighbor, this shout is going to break the silence of the ages. Hallelujah. It's going to startle the universe. Hallelujah. It's going to awaken the dead and summon the saints of God. Hallelujah. To meet Him in the clouds of glory. I don't know what He's going to shout. I don't know what He's going to say. He might shout out, it's resurrection morn. He might shout, come up hither. I don't know what He's going to shout. But the Bible says, when He is the Lord Himself, shall descend from Him with a shout. Oh, hallelujah. And then along about that time, the voice of the archangel is going to be heard. I don't know what that archangel is going to see. I'm not just real sure who this archangel is. I'm going to venture a little bit and offer a suggestion. I can't help but believe it's going to be Michael. Because in the little book of Jude, verse number 9, it seems to be Michael's business to to be dealing with bodies. For the Bible said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, what was he contending about? He disputed with the devil. What was he disputing about? He was disputing about his carcass or the body of Moses. That's what the book says. That Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses. So that kind of leads me to think maybe that Michael might be that archangel. He is an archangel. I don't know if there are more than one archangels or not. I know that it was Gabriel that appeared to Mary. That's about the only two angels that's mentioned by name in God's word. But Michael came to Mary and he said, thou art highly favored among women. When Jesus Christ was going to be born, Michael was the one that conveyed the glory. I mean, Gabriel. Did I say Michael? I meant Gabriel. Excuse me. You know what I mean, I think. I hope you think I meant Gabriel, because that's what I meant. Gabriel, the archangel, or the angel, appeared unto Mary, announcing the birth of the Son of God. But Michael was that archangel that disputed about the body of Moses. Personally, I don't guess it makes a whole lot of difference whether it's Gabriel or Michael or some other angel, but the Bible said the voice of the archangel is heard. And one thing I do know, that the archangel is the leader of that heavenly host. And I believe he's going to shout. The voice of that archangel is going to resound throughout that celestial city. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And about that time, the trump of God is hallelujah! You talk about sounds, neighbor. That's going to be some glorious sounds. Somebody said, I've quit looking for signs. I've started listening for sounds. And I think that's good admonition. Because if you hear the shout of the Master, if you hear the voice of the archangel, if you hear that trumpet when it sounds, then I think, neighbor, you're going to automatically respond. Because the trumpet was used to alert or to awaken or to gather together. Any of you have ever been in service and they stopped reveille? Didn't play the high strings of organ. They didn't get a little soft melodious tones. No, no idea. They got a trick. They smashed you out of bed. It's the reason for it. They wanted to let you know that you had a meeting somewhere and you had better be here. Neighbor, I believe when the trumpet of God sounds, is there going to be a meeting somewhere and you better be there. Hallelujah. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Hallelujah. Thank God tonight, neighbor. We're listening for those sounds. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't guess I had to be so loud. I don't guess I'm going to wake up any day. Not only are there going to be some great sounds, but there's going to be some great appearings. The Bible said the Lord Himself shall descend. Hallelujah. The Lord Himself. Now He sent angels on a lot of missions. He's had a lot of substitutes for a lot of things, but neighbor, when Jesus returns for His own, He's coming in person. Hallelujah. The Lord Himself shall descend. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 1 in verse number 11, those disciples and those 120, they were standing there on the slopes of Mount Olive, and they watched Jesus as He ascended back up through the ethereal waves. And there they were, just gazing up into heaven. Two white-robed angels descended on the summits of Mount Olivet and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? That same Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven. Oh, hallelujah. He's coming back just like He went away. That same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen Him go. Hallelujah to God. In John 14 and verse 3, Jesus said, "And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now the dead in Christ are going to rise first. The living Christians will be then caught up. Then there's going to be a wondrous change take place. Maybe it could happen at any time. Now I know you've heard this all your life, but it's nearer now than it was when you first heard it. I'll guarantee you, it's going to happen. And the thing that thrills my soul is the Bible said it's going to happen in a day when you think not. There's a lot of people thinking not. So this could be the day. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul said, "I'd like to just show you a mystery." He said, "We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But," he said, "we all will be saved. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." For he said, "The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." For he said, "You see, this corruptible, it must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality," I might have that in reverse, but I got the words right, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up." Hallelujah, indeed. "O death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory?" Maybe a little over 19 and a half centuries ago, Jesus took the sting out of death. Jesus took the sting out of death. I heard a missionary while I was in revivals down in the Beaumont area a few years ago, and I believe I told you this, but real quickly I'd like to pass it on to you. Might be some here that didn't hear it. A characteristic of a bee. If a bee ever stings you, you leave it stinging you, you'll die. So, when a bee has lost its sting, it knows it's going to die, and the other bees knows it's going to die. I don't know about this. I've never studied biology. I don't know the characteristics of a bee. But I'm told that when one of these bees has lost its sting and death is going to ensue, there'll come a bee that still has its sting, still has life. Another bee that still has sting, still has its life. It'll escort the stingless bee off out somewhere, and one of these bees will put his sting in that bee that's already lost his sting. This other will put his sting in that bee that's already lost his sting. And all three of those bees will die together because they've all lost their sting. Now, whether that's characteristic or if that's true or not of a bee, I want you to know a little over 19 and a half centuries ago, Satan made a mistake of putting the only sting he had. Oh, hallelujah! He put it in the master. When he hung the Calvary's cross, he put the sting of death in the master, and he bore that sting. I want you to know, neighbor, Satan doesn't have another one. Hallelujah. So Jesus took the sting out of death. Hallelujah. And so we have already had that sting taken out. Praise God. Hallelujah to God. That change is going to happen. And I believe that door is just about to open in heaven. And the saints of God are just about to go home. They tell me that in the Pacific, just off of the coasts of Vancouver, there's a stretch of water that is known as the Silent Zone. I suppose in these more technical days in which we're living now, I'm sure that they have other ways to warn these ships. But there was a time that when a ship was out in this zone of silence, this stretch of water, they said it's acoustically dead. They could hear no siren. They could hear no horn. So consequently, the flow of the ocean in this particular area was studded with wrecks. And Abraham persuaded that there is a zone of silence in the spiritual realm where we can become acoustically dead. In Acts chapter 28, verse 27, Paul said the heart of this people has waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. They've closed their eyes to the truth. Lest they hear with their ears and see with their eyes and believe in their heart, and I should heal them. Neighbor, they're insensible to the call and to the touch of God. That is a very serious condition to get in. But it's possible, neighbor, to get into a spiritual condition where it would be acoustically dead, a zone of silence where the voice of the Spirit could not be heard. Now, I think sometimes things can become so common. We've heard it so much that we just kind of pass it off. Oh, yeah, I know that's in there. I know that's in the Word. I've heard it, and I've heard it, and I've heard it. Let me tell you something, neighbor. It's going to happen one of these days. There's a little pulsation going on tonight in your bosom. Your heart's just beating away. And I wanted to say this about the body in sleep. Even in the natural, when your body goes to sleep at night, you don't just die all over. Your nerves kind of relax and they go to sleep. Your limbs relax and they go to sleep. But say, it'd be bad if that old heart went to sleep, wouldn't it? While you're sleeping, while your body's resting, that old heart's just pumping and pounding away. Those lungs are expiring and inspiring. You're breathing in and out. Hallelujah. I believe the same thing spiritually. When you go to sleep, your soul's not going to sleep. It's going to still be much alive. And I believe tonight, neighbor, that that hour is just about here when he's going to sound out these sounds that I've been talking about. Now, the sting of death, Jesus felt it. And the victor of death, he yielded to it. The curse of death, he bore it. The desolation of death, he endured it. The darkness of death, he dreaded it. But thank God he died that we might have life and have it more abundant. And because he lives, we can live on. Hallelujah. I'd like for musicians to come back. Hallelujah. After this, after the church age is over, after the church age is over, then he said there's a door that's open in heaven. And neighbor, I believe tonight, and I believe that all Bible scholars and commentaries believe that we're living in the closing, waning hours of the Laodicean church age. Neighbor, I believe tonight with all the power that lies within me that those sounds are about to ring. Hallelujah. And you're going to be in one of those categories tonight. You're going to be alive and remain when Jesus comes, or you'll be asleep. If you're asleep in Jesus, God will bring them with you when he comes. If you're alive and remain, we're all going to be caught away. We're going to meet him in the air. And forever, we're going to be with the Lord. Neighbor, he's coming personally for his church. After the tribulation has run its course, he's coming back. And we're coming back with him. He's going to personally lead that great army that day. He's going to be riding a white horse on this occasion. And all of the armies that are in heaven are going to be following after him.
They're going to be on white horses. They're going to be clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Hallelujah. He's going to have on a vest dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And I cannot help but believe tonight, ladies, that there's a cry all over this world. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, this little Tim was here tonight to sing. Though I failed and betrayed thy trust, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Would you like for that door to open tonight? Would you like for this to be the night? Just all move forward, move out to the aisle nearest, move down toward the front. You don't have to kneel unless you especially want to. You'd be more comfortable kneeling, you can kneel, but I want you to step out in the aisle nearest you and come down to the front here. While our musicians are playing, when we get down to the front here, we're going to lift our hearts and our hands. We're going to do our very best tonight to draw near, draw close to God. And neighbor, if we miss what I've been talking about tonight, if we miss that, then an untimely birth is in ours. It would have been better not to have been born.